Good evening. Happy New Year. What are your resolutions? Did you ever hear the story of the man who made a resolution to go to the gym in the New Year? And his commitment was actually to go to the gym every day, 7 days a week, for at least 30 minutes. After 1 month, he wasn't faithful to the resolution, so in February, he said, you know, I'll have to go to the gym at least 3 days a week. It reduced from 7 days to 3 days. In March, it reduced to 1 week. At least I'll go to the gym once a week. In April, at least I'll go to the gym once a month. By June, you know what the resolution was? At least I'll drive past the gym and see it. There's a tendency of starting a new year with so much zeal and so much energy and so much resolve. And those are good things, by the way, but it's a different story keeping up with them. Completely different. But there's only one resolution that all of us have to make, is to stay in the faith. And that's a message that I'm going to share with you from Joshua chapter 23. And then we'll resume our study of the Psalms next week. So would you please open up to Joshua chapter 23. This was really the end of Joshua's ministry. Remember, when Moses was passing, God chose Joshua, a soldier, to get the Jews into the promised land. Now this is at the end of Joshua's ministry. He has done what he has done. He has led them. He has fought battles. He has given them their land. He has taken them to where they long to be. And this is Joshua's very long address. He says so many things, but we'll pick up from verse 6 of Joshua chapter 23. He says, therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right or to the left, and lest you go among these nations. These who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. The key thing, key sentence, the key words there, hold fast. As they were beginning a new season, living in the land that God promised each one of them, Joshua tells them one thing. They need to resolve to hold on to their faith in the Lord. In 24, he actually told them to make a choice. You know Joshua 24, 15? Choose this day whom you'll serve. Whether you want to serve those idols, or you want to serve God. And he told them, but me, my family, my house, we will serve the Lord. So he tells them, you are in the promised land. You're in the new year. You're in the new season. There is obviously so much around you that can take your attention. You can be drawn away by your own plans and forsake the Lord. Or you can just choose to leave the Lord. You can decide, as many decide, I am going my own way. There were idols all around them. There were choices all around them. And he told them one thing. Hold on to the book of the Lord, the law of Moses, the instructions that God gave them. And he says to them, hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. There are plans that we'll make that will not come to pass, I can guarantee you. There are things that we hope should happen this year, and maybe they will not happen. We have ambitions, we have targets, we have goals that we set to beat, to hit. But sometimes, things don't go as we plan. And if you're going to follow your own pursuits, or you follow everything that takes your attention, you're obviously going to abandon the Lord your God. The one thing that excites me every year is just being a witness of what God does. The people who come to the faith, the people who grow in the faith, people who get married and stay married, people who have children, and all these things happening, testimonies all through the year. The one thing that breaks my heart is to see people fall away from the Lord. And I have friends, very close friends, who make decisions that lead to that decline in the faith. And every end of year I'm thinking, that should not have happened. That person should not have made that decision. Whether it was just frustration with whatever was going on, whether it was anger, whether it was temptation, whether it was just failing to stand. Storms blow and they fail to stand. It is heartbreaking, and I'm sure all of you have people who you think of and you're thinking, they should not have fallen away from the Lord. Maybe you call it backsliding. And all of us are prone to that. None of us is immune to backsliding, as we may put it. None of us is immune from falling away. And the problem most of the time is not actually failing to stand in the faith, is actually failing to get up. People make their decision and all of us will fail. All of us will sin. All of us will stumble. But we don't have to stay there. We have to get up. So many times shall we fall, shall the righteous fall, but we have to get up all the time because God is there to lift us up. He will not leave us there. But most of the time, we don't want to get up. God, just leave me alone. I'm here. I am dying. I am lonely. I am frustrated. I'm angry. I am whatever it is. Just leave me alone. And they stay there. And for Joshua, the one thing that mattered most in his heart as his ministry was ending is that the Jews hold on to God. They hold on to his truth. They hold on to their Lord. And down the line, David would tell the people the same thing. Remember the Lord your God. Hold on fast. Hold fast to your God. And almost every king that had a heart for the Lord, at the end of their tenure, at the end of their ministry, they would tell the people the same thing. We see this in the New Testament. When the apostles were coming to the end of their lives, each one of them would say something similar. And we're going to see that as we go along the message. And to hold fast means really one thing, to keep one's faith in God. You believe in God? Yes, you are believing in God this day. He tells them, you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done this day. Right now, all of us are holding on to the Lord. Let's wait until December. Shall all of us be holding on to God? Can we take a group picture? And at the end of the year, we're like, okay, who is still in the picture? Well, somebody else went to plant another church over there. This person moved to another place. This one moved. How about this one? Do you hear about them? Are they still following the Lord? Well, nobody knows where they are. Nobody knows what's happening. What happened? Not so many people may know. Are you ready to keep holding Jesus Christ through every weather, through every hill or valley, through every frustration or joy, through every failure or success? A grand example of a man who kept his faith and kept his integrity was Job. In Job chapter 2, verse 9, when everything befell Job, so much loss, so much pain, he didn't even know the reason why these things were happening to his life. Mrs. Job told him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. What did Job do? He confronted his wife. You speak as foolish women do. Paraphrase that. And in Job chapter 27, verse 6, Job said, my righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. What a statement. I have chosen to follow God and there's nothing that is going to block me, he said. And when his friends came to comfort him, they would later on try to figure out what was wrong. How come you're suffering, Job? Maybe you did something wrong and God is punishing you. And he would tell his friends, all right, you tell me, what have I done? You point out one wrong thing I've done. Not that he was sinless, perfect, but they could not point to any error in his life. Some were thinking, maybe there's some hidden sin. Maybe you did something in history, now it's coming back to haunt you. And none of them could point to the cause of Job's suffering. All of them had just mere speculation. Job also did not understand what was happening. He just saw his wealth, his children, his family, and his health decline. There is one thing he said, I will remain trusting in my Lord. You say what you want to say. My condition is probably not a condition that anyone will fancy. You can speculate. Whatever is going on, I may not understand. But there's one thing I choose to do. I hold fast my faith in God. I will not go anywhere else. I will not follow anybody else. I will not bow down to any idol. I will not. And he did not. In Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 5. Jeremiah is a preacher, a prophet, a teacher. Who had warning after warning after warning towards rebellious people. In fact, there's no recorded person who turned their hearts to God through Jeremiah's tenure as a messenger of God. None recorded in the Bible. And Jeremiah in chapter 8 verse 5 says, why has these people slidden back? Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit, they refuse to turn. Do you ever wonder why people fall away from the Lord? They started walking with the Lord very sweetly, very strongly, coming to church, reading their Bibles, committing to growth. Then all of a sudden, something happens. And Jeremiah is wondering, what is wrong with these people, this city? They are always going backwards. They are holding fast to what? Deception, lies, and they refuse to return. You're holding on to a lie, and can you imagine you don't even want the truth anymore? And some are like that. Paul writing to the Philippians in chapter 4 verse 1, he said, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Paul planted so many churches, he led so many people to the faith, and he considered every Christian an honor to him, a crown. He considered them his joy. They made him happy. When he saw people coming to Jesus Christ, that was his joy. When he saw them walking with the Lord, that was his joy. And he calls them my beloved, longed for brethren, my joy, my crown. Wow, so many titles. There's only one thing I have to tell you. Stand fast in the Lord. It is a description of standing against every force that tries to push you down. It's not just standing there. God is a rock, is a foundation, is a refuge. It's not just standing there. It is standing actively in resistance to any opposition to your stand, because they're there. If you're there and you don't have anyone in your life that makes you uncomfortable about your faith, then you need to be checking, are you still following Jesus Christ? Because those people are there. Alright? Those forces are there. Those thoughts come to our heads. We dream about them. We think about them. The enemy keeps shooting arrows at us. You face temptations every day, don't you? You want to get angry at somebody, you want to punch somebody back, you want to revenge, you want to slander, you want to do something evil. Temptations all over the place. And obviously the enemy, he's doing his best to discourage you, to cause you to doubt, to plant every seed of evil in your head and in your heart. And the idea of standing is stand actively resisting everything that tries to push you down. Stand fast. Stand firm. Stand strong. And at the end of this year, we should, all of us, be stronger in the faith. The waves that are going to blow, the storms that are going to blow, should, at the end of the year, make us stronger, not weaker. We should not end the year just weeping and crying and just counting our losses, just pitying ourselves, just sympathizing with ourselves. We should crown the year in strength. The waves have blown, evil all around, temptations, frustrations, failures, whatever it is, but I am still walking with the Lord. That's what God desires of each one of us, His children. Paul again writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Similar language. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus Christ. Hold fast. Have you seen people sit on the bikes and they're holding on fast to the rider? They're basically saying, you fall, I also fall. I'm not letting you go. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. He's really talking about God's word. We have a pattern to follow that has been set for us in God's word. And we have to hold on to them. Which you have heard from me in faith. These things are written, the Bible says, for the strengthening of our faith. Our faith comes, our strength comes, our hope comes when we know what God says about everything around us. And the one resolution we should all make is holding fast the pattern that is taught in scriptures. Whatever it is, and Paul gives two things here to Timothy. He tells him faith, belief in God against all odds, and he says love. Believe in God and love which are only found in Jesus Christ. Holding on to the God that you don't see, that is faith. Holding on to the promises that you don't tangibly see, that's faith. Talking to your father whom you don't physically see, that's faith. How about love? Do we need another lesson on love? Or do we know so much already? I was talking to somebody recently, and there are so many churches that are teaching grace. All right, every Sunday they talk about grace. And we're wondering, why don't they talk about something else? Why don't they talk about, for example, love? All right, because these are all attributes of God in the Bible. These are all things we see about our Father. He's gracious, He's merciful, He's loving, He's kind. So why do people just dwell on one? And every Sunday. And then it dawned on us that the loose teaching on grace tells you you don't have to do anything. Alright? You don't have to love people. You don't have to pray. God has sorted it out. It's basically teaching Christians to be lazy. Well, if you fall into sin, don't worry. God is gracious, He forgives you, which is true, but He also disciplines. All right? The difference between grace and love is huge. Because God's grace is such that He gives us what we do not deserve. All right? He gives us Jesus, He gives us the cross, He dies for us, and we don't deserve it. All we have to do is receive. That is the easy part, isn't it? Saved by faith through grace. Then it comes to love. All right? Now we've received God's grace in full measure, in full sufficiency. Right? We swim in God's grace. How about love? This is when work has to be done. In grace, just sit and receive. All right? In love, what do you have to do? You give. Love is self-sacrificing. Not so many people want to hear that. You mean I have to die for somebody else? No way. I have my own problems. I have enough on my table. I have enough on my plate. Let them mind their own load. Let them carry their own load. And the grace teaching extreme, obviously, excites people to do nothing. All right? Just sit there. Come to church. Sit there. Do nothing. God is gracious. All right? His grace is sufficient. And blah, 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 they go. Hardly will people tell you that that grace received actually is reciprocated in loving back our God, which in many ways means loving the people that you're sitting next to. It means paying attention to their need. Remember the story of the Samaritan? It means doing things that you would not normally do. You would just leave the person alone and go home. But love says, no, you cannot leave them. That's your brother. That's your sister. That is somebody who needs to go to heaven with you, and they will go to heaven with you. You need to do something loving in this situation. You need to give yourself. Not just the things you have, you need to give your time. You need to give your mind. You need to give them your thought. And you need to walk out of your selfish skin and take care of somebody else. That's exactly what Jesus did. So grace is not cheap. It costed Jesus his life on the cross. And eventually tells us, as Paul tells Timothy, you believe in God, but you need to be loving. Having received everything that God has given you, are you loving? Can you this day go around, talk to a few friends, and ask them, am I a loving person? And let them say what they need to say. Let your ears hear sometimes what you don't want to hear. Maybe something that you least expected to hear. Are you loving? Would the people who live with you, who work with you, who walk with you, who know you, prove that you're a loving person? As an act of your faith, as a work in a sense. Remember James, faith and works? Your faith in God leads you to act in ways that demonstrate love that flows from Jesus Christ. It is hard work. It's harder than just receiving. It is giving. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle, whether you had or it was written. Hold fast the traditions, the word of God, the Bible. Commit to reading it like you've not read it before. Commit to receiving from it as if it's the very first time you're doing it. Commit to grow by feeding on this word day and night. Eat and eat. And with God's word, you cannot be overfed. You cannot say, man, I've just eaten so much, I need to stop. When you start reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, by the time you get to Revelation 21, you feel like, do I even know what is in Genesis? And then you go back and you go through it again. By the time in Job, you're thinking, do I even know what is in Esther? What is the story? But only a few people do that. Did I tell you the statistics that only 20% of Christians read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Only 20%. What's wrong with the other 80%? Commit yourself to reading this book this year, all of it, from Genesis to Revelation. You have a 2-3 pages a day of reading, and keep going until you honestly can get grips to every passage and every text in its context. And that will cause you to stand firm. When you hear winds of false doctrines and pressures of false living, you will stand because you know truth. And if you don't, maybe you'll be like the ones in Jeremiah of whom he was wondering, why are these people always going backwards? Why are they not progressing? Why are they not growing? In 3 John chapter 1 verse 4, 3 John chapter 1 verse 4, John again also ending his life, writing his very last third letter. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater happiness, greater pleasure, greater excitement, thrill, than to hear that people are walking in the truth. I think that is God's huge heart. As a father, as a mother, as a friend, as a co-worker, wouldn't you love to see people walk in truth? And wouldn't that bring you so much happiness? I live away from a good number of my relatives, spread all over, you know, this country and some other places. And for so long, some have not known the Lord. And each time we interact, we obviously talk about the Lord, talk about His Word. And I started praying for my family the moment I knew Jesus Christ. I was so happy when my brother called me 1 week ago. And he told me, we're having prayer at home for the entire week. I was like, what? This is like a drunkard. He has like, how many children? Like 9 children from 3 different women. All his 20 years past have been just. And he's calling me. And I'm thinking, wow, you guys are praying? Seriously? I was happy. There's a change that is happening. My prayers are being answered. God is touching them. They've gotten to a place where they realize, I think we need God. And all of us will leap with joy when we hear that somebody that we least expected to know Jesus Christ has actually come to the faith and they are walking with the truth. That is our Father's desire. To see all of us stick to His truth through this year. And we have to commit that. It's not going to be easy. We have to commit to doing it and we eventually have to do it. I'll close with Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It is a picture of a ship docking at the shore, and it's fasted on a peg or a pole, whatever you want to call it, on an anchor. And the wind may blow, the waves may be high or low, the tides will go up and down. The moment that ship is hooked onto the anchor, it's not going anywhere. The tornadoes will blow, the whatever will come against the ship, will leave it right there because it is fasted onto an anchor. And that's what Paul says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You hold on to that anchor, the confession of our hope, without wavering. Don't let it go. And the difference between a ship or a boat and us is that we have to choose to. A boat has no choice. Right? Whoever owns it makes sure it is hooked on the anchor. Now for us, what do? We have to choose to hold on to that anchor. And Paul calls it the confession of our hope. The confession of our expectation. I hope none of us wavers and lets go of the Lord. Let's go of the confession of our faith and hope and strength and love and grace and kindness. For he who promised is faithful. Again, that is a picture of that anchor staying right there. Right? God being faithful is really that anchor that is always there. You want to hold on to Him, He's right there. Maybe you choose to waver and let Him go. You will swim away. He will not move, will He? He will stay right there. Did I tell you of a story of, I think he works with NSSF, one of those field employees who, you know, check on compliance. And he told me that he once followed God. He would come in every month. We eventually got to talk about God, and he said, you know what? Oh, you guys are Christian. This is a church. Oh, good. Yeah, I also once walked with the Lord, but I moved on. It's like, where did you go? People can move on. God will stay right there. I was told of a story of a teenage girl who ran away from home. She lived with a single mom, and at around 17, 18, she decided to leave. She was bored at home. So she was a runaway girl, left for many years. And for all those years, the mother kept expecting her to return. And you know what she would not do? She would not lock the door. For so many years, I can't remember the number of years. Every night, she left the door open. Now, that is risky, right? You know what was in her mind? My daughter will return. And when she comes, she doesn't want to find that door locked. She wants to find it open. And sure enough, after so many years of living away in disobedience, she returned one night. She held on to the door for a few moments, probably expecting the door locked. She twisted the knob and the door was open. Her mom was there to welcome her. And she asked her mom, why was the door open? You never lock your door? Aren't you afraid of thieves and intruders? Her mom said, my girl, from the very day you left, I left that door open, expecting you to return anytime. And when you return, you sure want to find that door open. If you think about the people who maybe have left the Lord, maybe their walk with the Lord is not very healthy, why don't you take a moment just to pray for them? And for us to commit ourselves to walk with the Lord, to hold on to God, to hold fast the confession of our faith. Lord, thank you so much for getting us to this year. But we have plans, and you teach us to plan. We have hopes, we have expectations, Lord. We have dreams. Lord, the one thing we want to do is to walk with you. Because you are the one who will see those plans come to pass. You are the one who will fulfill our desires. You are the one who will lead us to see our dreams come true. You are the one who will comfort us in every pain. Lord, you are the one who will lead us to your green pastures and fresh waters. You are the one who will satisfy us. You are the one who will lead us to sit and to rest in you. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to follow your God, to follow the patterns that are taught in scriptures, to follow the book of the law, the instructions to us, O God, to follow your word. For we commit ourselves to have a grip on you tight, regardless of what blows, regardless of the temptations, the troubles, the evils around us. Lord, we need your strength, Lord. We need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your protection. Lord, we need you. Lord, we want to pray for those friends and relatives and in mind who are not walking with you anymore. For some reason, they've forsaken you due to the cares of this world, the troubles of this world, or even the enemy himself. Pray, Jesus, that you draw them back to yourself. Pray that you reveal yourself to them, O God. Pray that you stretch out your hand and pull them back to your truth, to your loving arms. Lord, I pray for repentance, Jesus, that you may draw the lost to you, O God. But I ask that we as your children will just desire to be satisfied in you, regardless of what happens this year. Or if the crops that you're planting don't fruit, if the businesses that we invest in don't yield profit, if any ventures that we try out this year don't work, Lord, may our faith in you grow even stronger. In Jesus' name I pray.